Turn to Luke chapter 11 this evening, and the first 13 verses, but in particular this parable from Luke 11 verse 5, "And Jesus said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." And then Jesus gives us these immortal words, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Well, this parable is not one of the better known parables. It's not of the length or the common knowledge that even today some people have of the Good Samaritan, for example, or the sower. The rich man and Lazarus is quite a long parable, and this is simply 4 verses and an instruction. Just how close are you to your neighbours? You know, if you live in certain parts of the United Kingdom, it's legendary that you're in and out of each other's doors all the time. This was always said of places like Wales and different other countries in the United Kingdom, not so much in our cities, but more in the country, that neighbours were very, very close to each other. And I wonder how close you are. Maybe an official or just an unofficial neighbourhood watch exists in your area. And if you noticed anything to their harm, well, you would go and you would tell them, presumably. You would go and you'd say, "Well, I'm sorry to bother you, but you do seem to have a problem here. I noticed somebody lurking outside your back gate last night." Just being neighbourly. And it would be appreciated. So you would tell them. And not always in and out of each other's houses. We're not that close these days in our civilization to our neighbours. Indeed, for some of us that go up to London to work, we could say after about 5 years we don't even know the names of our neighbours. But probably most requests that your neighbour brings to you, you would comply with. If they came and said, "Would you mind if we did this? If you mind if my brother comes and parks outside your drive for a little while, let us know if it's inconvenient." We would generally comply with the requests of neighbours. But there is stretching it a bit. There is that occasion when it's just a little bit much that you're asking. So here is the story that the Lord uses to illustrate prayer and seeking the Lord and calling upon him for salvation. He gives the instance of a friend coming to you, or you shall go to him, rather, at midnight and ask him to lend you 3 loaves. I suppose these days midnight isn't all that late. Most people stay up till quite late and get up quite late in the morning, particularly in days of lockdown. But midnight here means quite late. You wouldn't go and knock on somebody's door at midnight. In this context, if you want to substitute 3 in the morning, feel free to do so. And so this friend, you go to him at midnight and you say, "Friend, will you lend me 3 loaves of bread? For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I've got nothing to set before him." So you've got a friend that's travelled quite a long way and has come to visit you, and it was unexpected. You didn't expect them to come. Maybe they sent a letter, maybe they tried to phone, but they weren't able to get through. But whatever it is, they turned up on your doorstep, and it's the middle of the night, and you need to give them something to eat. They haven't had a meal all day, and you haven't got anything. And so you think of your neighbour, and you go to your neighbour, and you ask them, and you say, "Please, do you think you could give me or lend me 3 loaves? Well, your neighbour is fast asleep in bed. Has to be up early in the morning. And here's the doorbell or the knocker, or maybe even the phone call if you give them a ring. and you say, well, I'm sorry to disturb you, and I know it's late, I do need some bread. I've got unexpected visitors, guests who come to my house. I didn't expect them, but now they're here, I've got to give them something to eat. They really are in need. Would you be able to let me have 3 loaves? I can imagine this friend sticking his head out the window rather than going down and saying, no, it's too late. That's the first response. Look, sorry, any other time, but it is a bit late. My children are in bed. It'll disturb them if I have to get up and go downstairs. And the heating's gone off. We're in bed. I've got to be up early in the morning, and I would help at any other time, but you can see how things are. Sorry, try someone else. They usually stay up late down at number 42. Why don't you try there? And you say, well, look, I know it's a pain, but I wouldn't ask if it wasn't absolutely urgent. Could you do it just for me, just this once? And I'm reading into this that you would still say no, and then he would keep pleading. And human nature being what it is, and because your sleep has already been disturbed, and you won't be able to go back to sleep until this neighbour is gone, and while he's still there, you've got to get up and you've got to do something about it. So you get up and do it. And God could well say, when we seek him for salvation, for that's ultimately what this is about, well, you know, that's stretching it a bit. Coming to me now for salvation, he could well point to the lateness of the hour when we come. He could say, you've left it very late to seek me. He could well question our motives, like this neighbour. Why not explain to your friends who've come visiting? Can't get you any food tonight, sleep well, and we'll try and get you an early breakfast in the morning. Why can't you do that, rather than come bother me? He could well say, well, you're not offering anything in return. You've never done anything for me. Often I've come to you and said, would you do this? And you've not complied at all. Why should I help you out in the middle of the night on a Thursday evening when I've got to be up early for work in the morning? Why should I help you out? You've never done anything for me. He could point to earlier applications. Shops were open late. You've had all day. The shops around here don't close till nearly midnight. You could have gone out earlier and got something. You must have known they were coming. You should always keep some food in store. Why don't you keep more food in store? Why is it that, you know, at this time of night you haven't got any bread in the house? Surely you need bread for your own family. Why wouldn't you have bread in the house? You could argue like that. And you know, you could say, well, my children need that bread. I've got some bread, but my children will be up in the morning and they'll need the bread. So I can't really give it to you now. All sorts of reasons, arguments that you could give for not supplying the need of this neighbour and giving him the bread that he asks. So God could well point out to us when we seek his forgiveness and conversion and we ask for him to save us. He could well say, you've left it late. Why this last minute repentance? He could say, well, you know, for years you went to Sunday school and you took the little jollies, the gift bags and the sweets, and you came along and you played the games, and we asked you just to sit and to listen and to realise that you need the Lord, but you never took any notice. Why come now? The Lord could say. You went to Sunday school, you heard the word of God when you were older, you went along to church and you heard the gospel, you went to the gospel service, and sometimes it was the atmosphere was thick with the Holy Spirit, and people were responding, and it was obvious the gospel was being preached, and you turned your ears, you turned deaf, you put your fingers in your ears and you wouldn't listen, because it was inconvenient for you to consider me your Lord and your God. Then God could well turn around and say, you come so late in the day, like the friend at midnight. You've come so late. Why do you come at this time now? You're being selfish, he could say. You're only thinking of yourself. Here was this man, and he'd come and he'd got this particular problem, but he was landing his program, his problem on his neighbour, and he was saying, look, you know, it's up to you, but you could help me out with this one, but you're being selfish. You don't consider that my children are in bed and they're being disturbed, that I've got to be up in the morning, that everything is against me, getting up, finding some bread and giving it to you. You're not giving me anything in return. You've never given me anything in return. The Lord could turn to us and say, what have you ever done for me? Did you ever turn to me and call upon me when I called you? Did you ever give your heart to me when I desired that you should come? I loved you with an everlasting love. My son came and died on the cross to save sinners like you. What have you ever done for me? God could say to us when we turn to him, when we call upon him, when we ask him. I need it for other more deserving causes, the man who's being asked for the bread might say. You know, there are others that need this bread, which are far more deserving than you, with your friends turning up at midnight when you didn't even expect them. And why do you ask for it now? I need this for more deserving causes. The Lord could turn to us and say, there's plenty of people in the world who are seeking me, calling upon me, who want to know the way of salvation. And you come at the last minute thinking that because you've suddenly been alarmed and you think you need to be saved. So you come to me now. There are other more deserving causes and cases. Why didn't you ask me when you went to Sunday school? When you first realised you needed help, when I was offering you gospel series, gospel services, and the atmosphere was soaked with the prayers of the church. Well, why didn't you turn to me then? Why should I? You're stretching it a bit, the Lord might well say to us, as we might well say to the man that comes, or he might well say to us, if we're the ones that go round to his house next door and ask him to give us 3 loaves of bread at midnight. You're stretching it a bit. That's what the Lord could say to us. But the result of the request, the friend got his bread. Maybe it was grudgingly. And he was warning, as he gave the bread, he was warning and saying, well, don't ask me again. If you come and knock on my door again at midnight, you'll get short change. You better give me 6 loaves back tomorrow. I need these 3 loaves back with interest. I want 6 loaves back tomorrow or it's no deal. And the point of the parable is this. How much better you are going to the Lord for help than going to any human help agency. It's the Lord, not a neighbour, that is being spoken of here in this chapter. The Lord is recommending that we go to his Father and ask him for salvation. In the matter of salvation, a neighbour is no help. We do think sometimes that our neighbour can help. We do think, well, you know, this friend has found peace with God. If I just stay close to them, maybe that will help me. Some think because their parents are Christians. And they say, well, it's my parents have been going to church for years. You should see what they do for that church and the amount of money they give and the things they do. And they're always there. They're there morning and evening to the services. They turn up when nobody else turns up. My parents do so much for that church. And, well, I feel that I can edge in on that. I'm part of the family. I think the Lord will look favourably upon me because I'm part of that family. All sorts of reasons. Neighbours, even parents, are no help. They can't bring us to heaven. They can pray for us. They can speak to us. They can urge us to seek the Lord. But turn to your neighbour in vain. Turn to the Lord if you want to be saved. Remember, it's your Heavenly Father that we're speaking about here. One who does get up out of bed to help the needy. Our Heavenly Father, our God, has gone out of his way to help and to save the lost. He could have turned round in the days of Adam and Eve and said, well, that's it. You've sinned against me when you had so much opportunity. Adam and Eve were in paradise. We blame our context. We blame our background. We say that our children are like they are because it's a poor neighbourhood and because of the school they go to. That's why they go thieving. And that's why they do this. That's what some would say. We can blame our background, but Adam and Eve were in paradise. There was no temptation in paradise until Satan came along, and the first temptation they received, they acquiesced and gave in. But But it's your Heavenly Father we're speaking about. And he did get up and go out to help the human race. In fact, he'd already got it planned, because to Adam and Eve, he said, one day the seed of the woman will have his heel bruised by Satan, but he will crush the serpent's head. At the cross, he will defeat Satan and bring about salvation. The other thing about this matter of going to the Lord is it's not about loaves of bread to save an embarrassment. It's about a real need. When we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and we say, Lord, have mercy upon me, save me, we're not asking for a loaf of bread because it's going to look embarrassing if we don't. Some are like that. They come to church and they think, it's going to look embarrassing if I'm not a Christian. So would you make me a Christian so that at least my friends will see that I am? Oh, Monday to Friday I can live as I please, but on Sundays let me give all the appearance of being a Christian. No, this is a real need. Not just embarrassed by late callers or visitors. It's in peril of your life. Nothing so precarious as presuming in the matter of salvation. Nothing more dangerous than leaving it till later. God recognises the urgency of the need. And if we call upon him, he's not going to turn us away. This is one of those arguments where the Lord is saying, this is what an earthly neighbour would do, but how much more will your Heavenly Father hear you if you call upon him and seek salvation from him? He says, you've got this friend, he comes, and though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, because of his importunity, because he's a pain in the neck, because he's banging on the door and he's causing a fuss, that's why he gives him the bread. But I say to you that God isn't like that. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. The Lord recognises that you have a real need. And provision is already made. The man who has the knock on the door in the middle of the night may not have three loaves to give his friend. He might have one. And he would say, well, there's one. And the friend would say, oh, well, I appreciate that. Thank you for that. But the Lord has made provision to give us the three loaves, to give us salvation on a hill far away. Stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. It was on that old cross that the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. God has made provision. He's also given us his promise. He said, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's given the promise. You don't need to go and knock with an embarrassed look on your face at midnight and say, I know it's a bit late, but no, you can come to the Lord and you can say, Lord, you've said at any time that I come to you and ask you, you will hear me, you will save me, you will rescue me. You can come. Well, the approach to God, sometimes neighbours just are inconsiderate and they have loud parties, music till 1 or 2 in the morning. If you complain, they say, well, come in, have a drink. Quite apart from the fact that your hair is all over the place and you'd be the only one there in a dressing gown. But usually if you have to wake a neighbour in the middle of the night for any reason, you would do it thoughtfully and carefully. Well, verse 9 says, ask. So many people don't even ask. They don't come to the Lord and say, Lord, will you save me? You've never asked the right question. Asking is more like seeking through other people. Asking your friend and saying, well, this Christian faith, can you tell me a bit more about it? Or when they say pray, you just say, right, well, I'm going to sleep now. Lord, please make me a Christian. Amen. Now I lay me down to sleep. Asking is just, it's real, it's sincere, but it's coming when you realise there is a need, but without feeling the deep urgency of it. Seek, well, that is a bit more. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Getting more concerned now. There's others who've come and have found salvation. They've got this joy in their hearts. They're right with God. But why can't I have that? And so you seek and you start to look, and you don't just go and say a prayer. You come to the Word of God and you start to read it. You make a phone call. You say, can you give me some passages to read in the Bible? Can you lend me a book which will help me to find the Saviour? That's seeking. Seeking the Lord while he may be found. Calling upon him while he's near. But you know, when it gets really urgent, what do? You bang on the door. You knock, just as that neighbour knocks on the door and said, can you give me this bread? And the Lord says, come, ask, seek and knock. And if you knock, the door will be opened unto you. So the Lord wants you to really value your salvation. He doesn't always convert you at first request when you ask. When you start to seek, the Lord draws near to you. But when you knock, when you come and you say, I must have this salvation, I must be the one who is brought into the kingdom of heaven today, I must know eternal life and be right with God, then the Lord will truly hear our prayer. Let's turn to